Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. Clearly, I snuck in on Nina this morning. It's good that we can gather in the house of our Lord this morning and give him our praise and thanksgiving for all that God has done. And especially on this day, we wish a very happy new year, both to all of those who are here and those who join us on the live stream this morning. It is good to have them with us this morning. The announcements at the end of the holiday period are always brief and short, but a reminder for those, there are offering envelopes right behind Corey this morning. The offering envelopes are there, so after worship, if you haven't got your offering envelopes for 2023, you can grab a the boxes are there for you. And the only other announcement is that it is with sadness that we share the news of the death of Ron Coleman this past week. As many, I think, are aware, Ron has been unwell for a couple of years now, and this past week, unfortunately, passed away. The funeral arrangements are being done by LaHaye and Sullivan on 7th Street here in town. The visitation will be on Thursday, and then the funeral will be Friday morning at 11. Let us stand as we enter the house of our Lord and say together the call to worship as it appears before you on the screen. From distant lands and faraway shores, God calls us together. Along straight paths and cleared byways, God guides our journey. Praise the Lord, O people, shout for joy. Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, who through the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ has caused a great light to shine in the darkness of our world, grant that we may walk by that light and be known as children of the light, bringing your light into the world through him who is the true light that lightens us all, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 126 in the Book of Praise, Angels from the Realms of Glory. The words to the hymn will appear before you on the screen. Friends, God is merciful and kind, and always ready to forgive. Trusting in God's grace, let us confess our sins as we say together the prayer as it appears before us on the screen. Holy God, you call us to testify to the light of Christ, which enlightens everyone. But we hide in the shadows and shrink from bearing witness to the light. Yet even now you dwell among us, full of grace and truth. Empower us to embody your love and embrace your hope. Long after the wreaths and ribbons are packed away, remind us that your light still pierces the darkness. Sustain our joy, surround us in peace, and inspire us to bear witness to your abundant grace and enduring truth. Amen. Friends, hear the good news of your salvation. God freely bestows God's grace on us through Jesus Christ. In Christ we receive redemption and forgiveness for our trespasses according to the riches of the grace which God has lavished upon us. So therefore, be reconciled to God and to one another, for in Christ we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Our next hymn is number 811, Standing at the Portal, number 811. Good morning to everyone. And last night was New Year's Eve, and everybody has their own New Year's Eve celebrations and traditions and things that they do. Us, we go to bed before midnight. That's, you know, it's sign of our age, I guess. But I know some people stay up much later, do all kinds of things. The thing that always, though, that everybody seems to do is two things. They think about the year that's gone past, and they think about the year to come. And usually when they think about the year that's past, they think about all the things that they'd like to fix. And usually when they think about the year to come, they make the promise that they're going to fix all the things that they did last year that they'd rather they didn't do. Right? We call those our New Year's resolutions. And it's our practice of getting things right, getting ourselves right with perhaps ourselves, making us ourselves feel better. Maybe you were going to, lose a couple of pounds. That COVID-19 that you put on this year, maybe that's supposed to go. Mine sure should. Either that or my suits have to go. But one or the other have to go. There's things like that, right? Perhaps we say we're going to be kinder with people. Perhaps we make other positive changes in our lives. And those are usually what our New Year's resolutions are. And we hear it all around too, right? We hear people make comment about the things that they didn't like usually about the last year, and so they look forward to the year to come. The wonderful thing about a new year is that we turn the page on history. Everything that was old is gone, and everything new begins. That's what we're focusing on in our worship this morning. Now, I was going to ask you to move around the sanctuary and share, but I was going to say, share the one thing that was your greatest memory of this past year or your greatest regret. But I thought, maybe that's not so. So I'm not going to ask you to move around. But while you're drinking a cup of coffee this morning after worship, if you pause for a moment, maybe you want to say to whoever you're speaking with, last year my greatest moment was. Or on the drive home in the car, or as you gather with family today, take a moment to share the greatest joy of today, of this past year, and the one thing that perhaps we would like to change. And then we set our sights for the future as we welcome this new year. Let us pray for the scriptures. Illuminating God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, reveal to us through the reading of these words, your word become flesh, living among us, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Our first reading this morning is taken from the Old Testament, Jeremiah 31, verses 7 to 14. For thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north, and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor together, a great company. They shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with consolations I will lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water in a straight path where they shall not stumble. For I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastlands far away. Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him, and will keep him as a shepherd does a flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob, and has redeemed him from hands too strong for him. They shall come and sing aloud on the height of Zion. and they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain, the wine, and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. Their life shall become like a watered garden, and they shall never languish again. Then shall the young women rejoice and dance, and the young men and the old shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. I will give the priests their fill of fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my bounty, says the Lord. Our second reading is Psalm 147, and we will read this responsively. Extol the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion.
For he strengthens the bars of your gates. He blesses your children within you.
He grants peace within your borders. He fills you with the finest of wheat.
He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly.
He gives snow like wool. He scatters frost like ashes.
He hurls down fall like crumbs. Who can stand before his cold?
He sends out his word and melts them. He makes his wind blow and the waters flow.
He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and ordinances to Israel.
He has not dealt thus with any other nations. They do not know his ordinances. Praise the Lord.
The third reading is from the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. And the fourth reading is from the New Testament, John chapter 1, verses 10 to 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is the only Son, himself God, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us."
Our hymn is number 116, and it is the right number this time. For those who tried to look up the last hymn, or the first hymn, and went, "That's the wrong number." This one is the right number, 116. "Hark, a thrilling voice is sounding," and the words will also appear before you on the screen. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, if you were paying attention, you didn't mishear. Because what Michelle read as the gospel lesson this morning sounded awful, an awful lot like what Wes read last Sunday. The original plan was we were reading verses 1 to 9, I think, last Sunday with Wes, and then Michelle was picking up with 10 to 18 this Sunday. But of course, it's hard to jump into a reading like John's prologue halfway through. So we started at the beginning again, and we will make some reference. The prologue of John is an incredibly important introduction to John's gospel because John seeks to reveal to us who Jesus really is. In a world of competing ideas about who Jesus was and competing thoughts, John wanted to set the record straight. And so that's what we have in this prologue that we read this morning, these first 18 verses from John's Gospel. The hymn that we just sang, "Hark, a thrilling voice is sounding, Christ is nigh," it seems to say, as John proceeds through these first several, the first chapter of his book, the first several sermons that we will look at in this year as we explore the Gospel of John. As he does this, he keeps showing us Jesus and Jesus coming closer and little bits of that conflict that we mentioned that he was trying to set aright. So those are the things that we can listen to for the next couple of weeks. Through this year of 2023, we are going to be looking at John's gospel. John, the lectionary cycle that we usually follow is a 3-year cycle and has Matthew, Mark, and Luke at its heart. And then every now and then they throw in John just for fun. But the reality is that John's gospel tells its own story, and John's gospel's story never gets its full attention. And so this year we're going to try to right that wrong by focusing the preaching ministry on John's gospel as a whole. So that's an important thing. So you can listen for that over the course of the next year. But on with this morning's sermon. Now you see, one of the things that's part of a New Year's celebration, as we mentioned during our time with the young in heart, is the idea of being retrospective, and most particularly the retrospectives that you see on the newscasts. Retrospectives in which reporters and correspondents reflect upon the past year. They share their opinion on what was the most significant story in the news of the past year and which stories they will be keeping an eye on in the years to come. Myself, I personally like those retrospectives that take kind of the form of a quiz so that I get to play along. You know, they kind of start talking about something and you go, oh yeah, I remember when that happened back then. They invite the listeners to participate and to see if we can remember all of those things that have happened over the course of the last year. Sometimes it's amazing how much we have forgotten. But as I was thinking about all of this and about this mainstay of New Year's celebrations over the past week, I started to have one question. Why is it that at this time of year, we engage in this practice of looking backwards and forwards? There's a lot that goes into that. You may want to suggest, well, it's just the behavior that goes along with the change into the new year. And that certainly is our tradition, isn't it? We go, oh, New Year's tradition. We think about the year gone by and we anticipate the year to come. But the new year itself is really quite arbitrary if you think about it. Why don't we celebrate the beginning of the new year at the spring solstice when the sun passes the meridian? Or maybe at the fall solstice when it goes the other way? Or some other celestial event that's happening in the sky? We do still remember these celestial events that happen in the skies. Why is it January 1st? Why don't we begin celebrating a new year when we begin the spring planting season? Because that's really the start of life as we know it kind of in our northern hemisphere in which we live. Or maybe the new year should start at harvest time, when the bounty of another year is celebrated and we're thinking about all of the goodness of the past and getting ready for the future. Why not then? No, you know, there seems to be something special about this time of year, with its enveloping darkness that invites a certain amount of introspection. Some 2,000 years ago, the ancient Romans established the first fixed calendar, and they named one of their winter months January, after the two-faced god Janus. Two-faced because he looked forwards and backwards. He is the god of transitions, the god of beginnings, the god of doorways. Standing at the portal of the opening year, the hymn that we just sang, standing in the doorway. Or if you're of the Scottish tradition, the tradition of first footing, the first person who walks through your door after the new year. Doorways, still important. As I mentioned, in ancient art, Janus looks both forwards and backwards, and therefore began this practice of introspection in these dark months. Maybe. But then again, there's absolutely no reason that the Roman emperor who started that calendar couldn't have turned around and said, January, beach weather. I'm going to make January the middle of summer. There's no reason why he didn't. Except, perhaps, it seemed to fit. There seems to be some sort of natural confluence of such introspection at this time of year. I think that it has guided our human behavior since ancient times. And in some odd way, I think we see this idea of timelessness in the reading that we read from John's Gospel this morning. Indeed, this question of the existence and of the pre-existence of Jesus, the Word made flesh, is one of the most important aspects of John's revelation of the person of Jesus Christ. It goes on to be foundational in some of the doctrinal standards of the early church that we continue to hold today. But John begins the prologue with those memorable words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him, and without him, nothing came into being. Now, those words, in the beginning, would have been familiar to any first century reading of John's Gospel. They would have immediately recognized them as the words that begin the book of Genesis in the Hebrew Scriptures and the account of God's creating. Indeed, those words, in the beginning, are how Genesis receives its name. It is named after this phrase in the book. Genesis literally means, in the beginning. Ta-da! Always I encourage people in the Bible studies to listen for echoes of Scripture in Scripture. Right? It's a good reformed practice to do. The Westminster Confession of Faith tells us that Scripture is self-interpreting. That means we hear Scripture in Scripture. We learn what Scripture means by reading more Scripture. So that's important. But also it's just, we always keep hearing these themes that come back time and time again. And here is perhaps one of the greatest examples, and it's so clearly laid out for us in the beginning. But here the author of John's Gospel clarifies for us the context of the divine dialogue that we find in the creation story. In the creation story, if you remember, God crowns his achievement of creation with the creation of humanity. And as God creates humanity, God says these words, "Let us make mankind, humankind, in our image." Have you ever noticed that before? Have you ever wondered, who is God talking to when he says, "Let us make humankind"? Here, John answers that question for his reader. Jesus, the Word made flesh, was in the beginning with God, and nothing was made apart from him. And the life and the light that defined the great moment of time in creation is the light and life that we find in Jesus, the Word made flesh, the embodiment of God on earth. And yet, lest we get thinking that Jesus' personhood is a historical reality, back in the creation day, unless we start thinking that it's creation all over again, John keeps moving us forward. For John, the most important thing for us to know about the incarnation of Jesus is that the Word, the very same Word that participates in that moment of creation, is present in history, in the corporal and mortal existence of Jesus of Nazareth. The fact that God takes on human form and dwells on this earth is nothing less than the insertion of Jesus into the now. The insertion of Jesus into the now. The God who is timeless and vast and eternal becomes time-bound and mortal in Jesus of Nazareth. And in the written record of Jesus' life, in this gospel then, John also puts forward a future hope. Perhaps you and I have not seen Jesus in the flesh. In all likelihood, neither had most of the first readers of John's gospel. We estimate that John's gospel was probably written somewhere about 90 AD, so at least kind of 60 years after the death of Jesus. So many of the people who lived during Jesus' time would have already died. But through the testimony of these words, written and passed down through the generations and through the power of the Holy Spirit that breathed life into the words and into us, we see in these words on the page the story of the Word made flesh, the offer of salvation extended to us. John writes, "He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the power to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." God's mercy and God's grace offered to us if we will but place our trust in Jesus and acknowledge his divinity, acknowledge that Jesus is God's incarnate Son. Wow. What an amazing claim that in these pages, in the pages of Scripture, we can see God in all God's grace and all God's glory. As we stand in this moment of time, another new year passing along, and we look at the year that has gone by and the year that is yet to come, as people of faith, let us look to the old life that is past and the new life that Jesus has come to bring. As we look to this new year, let us seek to reflect the grace and the truth of God in our own lives, that we might show forth to a world that struggles to find hope that God, the giver of life and light, is near. That tomorrow, from Genesis, that chaos will be overcome. That darkness is indeed finite. For Christ comes to bring light and life to all. Maybe that's why we become introspective at this time of year, when the darkness is all around us. Because we know that the darkness is fleeting and that hope abounds in Jesus Christ. May we experience Christ's light this year, and may we shine that light into this world. Thanks be to God. Amen. From God's generous mercy, we have all received grace upon grace. Therefore, let us give in gratitude for our lives and our inheritance as part of the family of Christ. Let us present our tithes and our offerings.
Incense, myrrh, thou canst not bring.
Let us pray. Gathering God, you have brought us together from many backgrounds and conditions to be this church together. Therefore, we praise you with songs, shouts, and these offerings and gifts. Multiply them for your service, that they might become your presence in the world. We pray these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. As we come to the prayers of the people this day, there is a response that will go with the prayers. When you hear the words, Christ, light of the world, you are invited to respond with the words, scatter the darkness from before us. Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. Holy Father, we pray that the church may proclaim your light in dark times, that we may come to your light and recognize you, your lighting. May we reach out to all who are in darkness. May the church show forth the good news of the gospel. We pray for all preachers of the word and ministers of sacraments, for all who study the scriptures. Christ, light of the world, scatter the darkness from before us. We remember areas of the world where darkness seems to triumph, places of exploitation and cheap labor, places where the land is raped and forests are destroyed, places where the water is polluted and the air is foul, places where the sea is overfished and the land is becoming desert. We pray for ecologists and all who seek to care for our world. Christ, light of the world, scatter the darkness from before us. We remember in sorrow broken relationships, divisions in our community, acts of selfishness and greed. We pray for generosity of spirit, for our homes and our loved ones. Christ, light of the world, scatter the darkness from before us. We pray for all who are in doubt and despair, for all who have lost confidence in themselves or in others. We pray for the depressed and all who walk in darkness. We remember before you friends and loved ones in sickness. Christ, light of the world, scatter the darkness from before us. And we remember all who have passed through the darkness of death and are alive with you now in glory. We give thanks for the saints and all who have shone out as lights in our world, and we pray for friends and loved ones who have enriched our lives and are now departed from us. Especially this day, we pray for Ron Coleman and for Gwen and all of his family as they mourn his loss this day. Christ, light of the world, scatter the darkness from before us. Hold us ever in your care, most gracious God, and keep us steadfast in prayer as we continue to pray as Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we draw to the close of worship this morning, some of you may be already aware of this. For some, this may come as a surprise. Epiphany is on its way. This coming week, we will mark the arrival of the wise men to the infant Christ. And that is the 12th day of Christmas. And I think I heard somebody say between sundown on the 5th and sometime on the 6th is when all of your decorations go down. We will also be removing the decorations from the front of the church. And so if you did not get a poinsettia this year and you think, I really wish I had got one, the poinsettias will be retired at the end of this week. They will not be here next Sunday. So if you would enjoy one in your home, please come forward at the end of the service and avail yourself to one. Our closing hymn and our last Christmas carol for this Christmas season, number 168, See Amid the Winter's Snow. Let us sing the hymn as the words appear before us on the screen.
Thank you.
Christ, the light of the world, scatter the darkness from before your path, that you may walk as children of light. And the blessings of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest and abide with you henceforth and forevermore. Amen.